Good morning, 8:38 Finger Lakes Morning News. It's time to get healthy with Finger Lakes Health, and for me, it's been a month. Only one thing could keep me away from my bi-weekly meeting with you, Laura, and that's a trip to Florida. So,
oh well,
I
you
hope
deserve
you'll forgive
that.
Me.
Well deserved, but I did miss you.
I was on the Gulf Coast 2 weeks ago. I'm not anymore. So, any news or notes before we begin our topic?
Not too much, just a final push for prehab that we've got going. So if people are interested, we have a good group signed up already. But if you're interested in prehab, sort of get in. And again, just obviously a huge thanks while you're away. It was part of when we had some of our manual paper procedures going on. And just a special thanks to our patients and our community who are just so supportive and were patient during that process. And also, obviously, a fantastic shout out to our staff, who I think many of whom had practiced those downtime procedures, others were newer and had never really had to work on paper for an extended period of time. So I just want to say, you know, they did a fantastic job. And honestly, our IS team to just be working around the clock. So we feel very, very grateful that sort of no patient, resident, or employee data was compromised anyway. So it really wasn't a breach. It was more truly just a function. Work. It was a workflow challenge, I will say, but we're back in action. And
so everything's all fully electronic and computerized. Fully restored.
We had some patients who, for example, might have come in on that paper process, and for continuity of care reasons, we kept them through that process until discharge. But for the most part, and I think, you know, there's a couple fax machines here and there, you start to realize everything that gets impacted. So I don't want to say that I'm sure there's some staff out there who are saying, well, I've still got this, why I can't print or something. Yeah. But I will certainly say we feel very thankful and grateful that we had a real quick response that saved us some more difficulty with that.
Glad to hear that. So let's introduce our guest and our topic today.
Yes, I'm so excited. She's been here with us before, but it's been a while. So I'm here with Janice Masterson, who is oversees our speech pathology program at Finger Lakes Health, along with sort of many of the contracts that we have with other places. She's a licensed speech pathologist, has been here longer than I have been there. So I've been here 22 years about, and I think you're
25 years this year.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank
Fantastic.
You.
So we're going to talk a little bit about it because I think people have, they sort of underestimate and don't seem to understand as much about what speech language pathology services can mean for them. I learned a lot when I first started at the hospital, everything from the swallowing evaluations we do to working with people in long-term care or sort of post-stroke or other kinds of neurological kinds of concerns. So we're going to talk a little bit about sort of when do the speech pathologists get involved, the kind of impact and real difference in people's life and their daily living and their communication skills, as well as obviously even things like swallowing, some very, very fundamental aspects to our well-being. So
absolutely.
We're going to talk about that with Janice today. Well, she works through the Guernsey Rehab, but we have services at multiple of our sites, and we'll talk a little bit about that.
Well, welcome back. I think it's been a while since we
Thank
talked.
Thank you. But, yes, a few years.
It's good to have you here. And one of the things you said is every time that you come on that people are reminded of just the wide range of services. You think that it's a fairly narrow discipline, but it really isn't.
Right. Well, for example, I can have patients referred to me or go to see a person in a room, and I may be referred to see them for their swallowing, and I'll walk in the room and introduce myself. And before I get a chance to explain anything, well, there's nothing wrong with my speech, so why are you here? And even some outpatients, they'll say, I'm not sure why my doctor referred me to see you. So at that point, I explain to them the range of a speech pathologist in a medical setting. We see people who have had something happen to them which would affect their speech, which is the actual production of words, their language function to be able to understand what they're hearing, to be able to read, write, and verbalize what they want to say, their cognition, being able to think about their thinking processes if they've had a stroke or traumatic brain injury or maybe some surgery on their brain, and of course their swallowing. We also see people with voice disorders, and we have some special programs for that. We see people who are adults through children. We do have a few children that come in. Most of them aren't as serious that would come to our health system, but some of the pediatricians will send them in. I also see people or young adults, they're usually athletes who are actually quite healthy, for something called paradoxical vocal cord dysfunction. And there are some medical groups who are actually over in the Syracuse area that will send their patients over here to be seen by me for this evaluation and treatment. So it is a range of things. We see people in the hospital, we see outpatients, and we also see people in rehab or in long-term care.
You've mentioned swallowing a couple of times, and actually on the speech pathology section on the Finger Lakes Health website, that's the first thing that's mentioned. So what kinds of things lead to swallowing difficulties, and how does that relate to speech?
Well, I would say in the hospital for sure, that's the number one thing we see. Someone may come in with a stroke and their swallowing may be affected, but we also see people who are weak and tired, people who may have pneumonia. And people have pneumonia, most of those people will have a referral for a speech pathologist to come and see them. And the reason is because there's many factors that affect someone getting pneumonia. There's a large percentage of people that will actually have pneumonia because they're aspirating. And it may not even be some food or liquid, it may be their own secretions. Now, you're going to be surprised by this, but if people do not brush their teeth twice a day, the oral bacteria in their mouth will walk into their lungs at night, and in a compromised host, in other words, someone who may be weak, they're going to get pneumonia. I'll see people in the hospital and I'll talk to them, how often do you brush your teeth? How often do you take your dentures out and clean them? Well, I'll get to it maybe once a day, not realizing that it's the bacteria in the mouth that research has shown is going to cause not only pneumonia, but all kinds of cancers.
Let me just back up one second because you said aspirating. Is that what we commonly refer to as kind of swallowing down the wrong
hole?
Going
down the wrong pipe,
right.
Okay. Aspiration is when food or liquid goes below the level of the vocal cords. Now, you can be eating and having a salad and just start coughing because the vinegar may have hit your throat the wrong way. That's not really aspiration. Aspiration is when the food or liquid goes below the level of the vocal cord. And there's certain people who may be even predisposed to that. There's also a significant percentage of people that have COPD who are aspirating who have difficulty because their vocal cords are bowed and they're weak and they're on oxygen, they have a dry mouth, they're short of breath, they're putting food and liquid in their mouth and they're inhaling and some of that may go into their lungs. You're going to see people who have Parkinson's disease, and we also do that program, who have bowed vocal cords, they're at significant risk. The weak, the elderly, they will also be at risk for that. We also see people who have a significant problem with their esophagus, which means that as we get older and we shrink and the spine goes down, well, your esophagus doesn't shrink. What happens, it twists and contorts. As people become immobile and they're sitting and they have a kyphotic back, the food or liquid will go into the esophagus and just sit there. And they may have dysmotility and they'll say, I'm full. They don't eat that much. They don't eat that much because the food or liquid is actually sitting in their esophagus and not going into their stomach.
There are a few different evaluations and treatments that you can use. One involves the use of barium. Tell us about
that. That's correct. Yes, we do something called a modified barium swallow. When people hear barium, they think of the test where they will come in and then they have to drink a lot of barium. But a modified barium swallow is a test where a patient will come in and they'll sit down in one of our new modified barium swallow chairs. And we give them some applesauce. We'll give them maybe some pudding. We'll give them a cookie and something to drink. The food itself has a little barium in it. So when they swallow, the radiologist will just simply push the machine on, and it's a movie picture of their swallow.
Right.
They can see their swallow on the monitor, and we can determine actually what the problem is and how to treat it.
And then also, you talked about difficulties with the vocal cords. You use video stroboscopy. Did I say that right?
Well, many of the physician office ENTs have that in their office now, and what they'll do is they'll refer people here who have a voice disorder. We do see people that have a voice disorders. Quite a few ENTs will send their patients in. They may have hoarseness, they may have nodules, they may have polyps. They can have this paradoxical vocal cord dysfunction, which I'd like to just mention about that as well. And they'll come in and be evaluated and treated. We do have some computerized equipment in our treatment room, which we use as part of that whole evaluation process. I'd like to just mention the paradoxical vocal cord movement. This is something that where the vocal cords are not opening up all the way when someone is exercising. It's predominantly in young athletes, predominantly women more than men, although I have had some teenage boys coming in who are athletes. What happens is when they're exercising, they think they're having an asthma attack and they can't breathe and their throat is closing up. So they'll use their bronchodilator and it doesn't help. So what they found is that when they're breathing, they're not opening up their vocal cords to actually get the air into their lungs, so they have chest tightness and throat tightness. So that has to be diagnosed. If they're on asthma medication and they can't breathe, it may be that they have paradoxical vocal cord movement. And so that I would evaluate for and treat. And sometimes people will see me in the back stairwell with these young athletes running up and down the stairs right with them to teach them how to breathe when they're exercising.
Is that condition more common in asthmatics?
It's more common in young female athletes. And if asthma medication is not working, then their physician will send them in to be evaluated to see, you know, maybe this is what we're working with here.
You also mentioned Parkinson's patients. Yes. The Lee Silverman voice treatment for Parkinson's. Explain that.
Yes, that's a very specific program that is designed for people who have Parkinson's disease. It's what happens is people's vocal cords start to bow a little bit and they become very soft-spoken. They think that they're speaking at a normal vocal level, loudness level, but they're not. So this specific program is the most highly researched program out there as far as speech pathology goes, and it is definitely effective. It's a treatment program where they come in for treatment 4 times a week for 4 weeks, and they learn how to increase their vocal intensity, their vocal effort to help their vocal cords come back together. It will increase their loudness. So if someone comes in early when diagnosed with Parkinson's, they may be at a mild impairment level, we can bring them back to a normal level. If someone comes in severely impaired, clearly we can't make them up to a normal speaking level, but we can move them up an impairment level. So if you're moderate, you'll go to a mild level. If you're severe, you'll go to a moderate level.
We've talked a lot about the physical side of it. How about the neurological side? For example, if you had a stroke, how do you work with somebody to get that thought from brain to mouth?
Yes. Well, all of our patients are just so appreciative of what we do, but especially those people who have a stroke on the left side of the brain, which is the speech and language center, and they are not able to speak effectively. They're all, it's called aphasia, and there's a lot of different types of aphasia. Sometimes people have aphasia where they can only say a few words and they're non-fluent. Other times people have aphasia where they don't understand that well, or the words come out incorrectly. So we have our little bag of tricks, and they'll come in and we work with them, and it's very, very rewarding. When we do see patients like that, though, it is important that they know that they go home and with homework. You're not going to get better, as in anything else, by just having speech therapy 2, 3, 4 times a week. You have to go home, and it has to be a lifestyle change.
Right. All right, just fascinating. Laura, were you going to jump in with something?
Well, I was just thinking, when I think about all these speech things, you think about some of the speech patterns of the vocal fry that young women have now, with that dropping off and things. So that might be a whole other show.
Yeah.
But
that's very true. I mean, there are a lot of journalists who do have some difficulty because they're not using their optimal pitch. They may be speaking down here. They may not be using proper breath support. There's a lot of factors with that, for sure.
Wow. That would be a great thing for another show. Well, Janice, thank you very much. Laura, thank you as always.
Thank you, Ted.
And we appreciate
Welcome
your time.
Home.
And if you
thank
go to
you.
The flhealth.org website, you'll see the whole speech pathology section there on all those services that we just kind of touched on. 8:52 now, Finger Lakes Morning News.